Noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow. You're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm the first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then you're the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Here with you on a Wednesday. Hump day.
What's happening, man? Hump day. Oh, yeah, man. They got that big game feel in the city right now, man.
It does.
There's a big game feel. I said in the handoff, man, I haven't been this excited to watch a baseball game in a long time, man. And like you said, I love doing this show, but I cannot wait for 5:02, man. I cannot wait.
I'm very thankful every day that this is a job that we get to do.
Yeah.
But there's nothing I want to do today except for talk about the Braves until the Braves game starts.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that we get to do that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it, man. This is but the thing about it, Andy, is that this is like the postseason for everybody right now in baseball. It's been great, man.
With the
Rays were able to do yesterday, get out the Verlander, and then you're looking at later on tonight, you got the Nationals, Strasburg going against Bueller, and then you got us. And then you got Folty going against their best pitcher.
Tonight has the possibility of being, because you know how championship weekend is in the NFL. You got the NFC and the AFC championship.
Right.
And it's great when your team is in the championship game that's in the morning and they win it. And then you get to watch and find out who you play in the Super Bowl in the afternoon, and there's no stress. It's like, well, I don't really care who it ends up being. I just get to sit here and watch these two teams play, knowing full well that my team is going to be in the big game.
Right.
We have that possibility. Like, we could watch the Dodgers and the Nationals tonight so relaxed, so comfortable, sitting on our couches or our chairs or whatever wherever you're going to be at home, maybe at a bar watching these games, and just watch Bueller and Strasburg battle it out to see who gets the right to face the Braves.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
That's what's going to happen.
That would be okay, yeah.
That's what's going to happen. All right, we're going to talk it into existence, and because I do believe this team is going to win. I do believe you're going to get the contributions you need from the 3-4-5 hitter. We are hearing that there might be some lineup changes as far as batting order and everything like that. And, I mean, we have a question. It's like, who comes in after Folty?
Yeah, there's a lot
I don't care. I don't want Folty. I want that to be a decision that, okay, we're comfortable, he's pitching well, and we'll just leave him out there.
I hope it's Mark Melancon.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly.
I hope Folty goes 8 and Mark Melancon comes in the 9th and closes the thing out. Or maybe the Braves have a big enough lead where you don't even use Mark Melancon.
Yeah.
You use somebody else to be the pitcher in the 9th inning, whoever that might be, and close the game out and win game 5. No, Randy, you're right. There's a lot of interesting, strategic, baseball-related questions to talk about today and try to figure out what would be the right way to go. And it's possible, because the game starts at 5:02, that we'll have some of those answers by the end of the show, depending on when they post the lineup. It's possible that we'll know in the 1 o'clock hour who's going to be batting where, if there's going to be moves. And Snicker even said yesterday that, when asked about Adam Duvall and the possibility of putting him in the lineup, sounded open to that.
I would.
So we'll get to all of that, because I think that there's a lot of valuable baseball X's and O's type discussions to have. But I just want to start from the big picture conversation of and feeling of, like, this is basically what you live for as a sports fan. Like, today is the reason why you root for a team.
Yes.
So you can make the playoffs in the first place. So you can have great players that are fun to root for, like Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna and all these guys. And so you can get into these moments where all these guys that you've been so invested in, it's crazy to me. All the routines that we get into in baseball seasons, just think about like how many times at 7 o'clock or whatever, 7:20, you've sat down wherever it is that you watch these games and knowing who's going to pitch that day and getting excited for that guy to go that day and seeing what Ronald Acuna or Ozzy Albies or whoever was going to do that night. And we've done that now 166 times.
Yeah.
It's crazy that it's flown by that way.
Yeah.
And it's come down to this amazing culminating moment of win or go home.
Right.
You've got it at home because you won 97 of them in the regular season. This is the reason why you do this. This is the reason why you root for teams. And I'm very excited about it. I'm very nervous, but I'm very much looking forward to 5:02.
Well, I mean, the nervous part is, you know, that's something that, you know, I think a lot of people in Atlanta are right now, because, you know, I don't believe in curses and everything, but it just seems like it was funny because we had this conversation. He said Atlanta just can't have nice stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I mean,
it just feels like it.
It just feels like it. Yeah. I get it. But I mean, this is going to be a test of who plays better. I mean, that's what it always is. And it's hard for me to say when you're playing baseball to start fast. You know, start fast. Do you really have to start fast in baseball?
It would be great if they did. Yeah.
But I mean, if you look at how this squad is built and how they've won a lot of their games this year, it hasn't been a start fast type thing. It's been a comeback late or something like that. So I'm expecting none less than that. You got to give the Cardinals, I mean, we came in and said they weren't going to beat themselves. And they are a gritty, they are a you know, built for this moment type team. At the same time, you know, if you look at their record throughout the season, they don't score runs late. And that was the one thing about it. They don't score a lot of runs late, but lately they've been clutch in the later innings in this series. And I mean, it just seems only fitting that it gets down to a eighth inning, Braves hanging on to a 3-1 lead. Yadi's up and he flies out instead.
Who?
Of Yadi.
Oh, you mean the third Molina brother?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and something like that happens. Because right now,
not using his name anymore.
If the Braves play their game and if our guys, our vets, if they do their job today, it shouldn't be a problem to win today. As good as Flaherty's been, as good as he's been since All-Star game, because he's been the best pitcher in baseball. Folty's been one of them too, though.
Yes, he has.
All right, so I have the faith in Folty. I think he's figured it out. Just like you said, he was coming into the season. He was supposed to be the number one pitcher in the rotation. He's pitching like it right now.
That might be, like, the Mike Fulton, and we talked briefly about it yesterday with Joe Patrick. I know Joe has a really good article right now on 929thegame.com about Fulton and the trajectory of Mike Fultonevich's season. Like, I know we just spoke about, like, game fives and rooting for teams and seasons and all of the excitement of elimination games being the reason why you're a sports fan. Like, Fulton's story and Fulton's season
is unreal.
Another reason why you're like, just think about what this guy's gone through this season. And I know there's probably people saying, gone through, he's a millionaire. Yes, I know. But the reason he's a millionaire is because he's one of these people in the world that can do something that almost no one else can do. And he failed at it miserably at the beginning of the season to the point where, and Joe tweeted this out earlier or yesterday, Fulton 108 days ago, this is a quote from Fultonevich 108 days ago, maybe 109 days ago now because he tweeted it out yesterday. Quote, I've got a 7 ERA on a first place team. It's just tough. I'm battling every night. It's just the person I am. I'm going to wear that stuff on my sleeve, especially when things aren't going my way. It's just tough. It's all my fault, too. Like, not only was he failing, but you know what he's like emotionally.
Yeah.
He felt so awful about it. And Joe's told us he was right there interviewing him at that moment. He said he wouldn't have been surprised if the guy started to cry because he felt so bad about it.
Yeah.
So to have gone through that, get demoted, come back, harness your emotions, however it is that you've done it. And I think these bracelets that we all wear on this show are a big part of it. Like, Fulton not being a little blank tonight is key. But his story this year is so special. And if it gets capped off tonight with a win, with another dominating performance, I mean, that's what you watch for.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you root for.
I mean, it's just the story of do you call it perseverance? I mean,
sure.
You know, I mean, the guy, he's been through a lot. I mean, and we've been here. I mean, I've said it. I know Mike Bell feels a lot like I do. Why are people so high on this guy? You know, because I mean, even last year I was like, he's having a good year. But is he that dude? And, you know, and coming into the season, I was like, I didn't want to bang on him, but I was like, yeah, he is who I thought he was. But I've been so impressed with him. You know, I always give credit where credit is due. And I'm excited to see what he does tonight because the ball's in his hand. And this is what you do when you're the best pitcher. I mean, I still think Mike Soroka's the best pitcher, but when you're one of the best pitchers on the staff, that's when they get the ball. That's why you see Strasburg getting the ball tonight.
Sure.
You see Buehler getting the ball tonight. I mean, who's going in Houston? Is it going to be Cole? I mean,
probably.
You see those guys. This is Fulton's moment to, like, because if you win today, it's still an uphill climb because you still got another series to go. But to me, this seems like, and this is why I love sports and series. I love winner take all games.
Yeah.
I love them.
It's what it's all about.
Yeah, I love them.
All right, let's ease the tension briefly by offering people a chance to win $1,000.
Lou!
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
gold. Gold. G-O-L-D. You have until 10:59 to text GOLD to 72881. That is 72881 from your cell phone. Message and data rates may apply. Please do not drive and text. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. The word, again, is GOLD. Make sure you text it to 72881.
What does GOLD make you think of? Makes me think of Josh Tomlin. Because he's worth his weight in gold. According to Brian Snicker.
Yeah.
I hope you don't see Josh Tomlin tonight. No offense to Josh Tomlin, but like.
What else you do?
And no,
you like him.
No, No.
That's what you told me. Josh Donaldson.
I mean, I like him, but not tonight. I like him when he pitched in the games earlier in the series.
Yeah.
Josh Tomlin pitching tonight is not a recipe for success.
Well,
I'll
tell you what,
but
it's all hands on deck tonight, man.
It is.
Everybody who has an arm will be used if need be.
So
everybody.
That begs an important question. And hopefully, Folty is able to go deep into this game. I think he's got a good advantage of only, what did he throw, 81 pitches in his first start. He got pinch hit for Adam Duvall in the seventh, and Duvall comes in and hits a home run. So Folty only threw like 80 pitches in his win in game two. Conversely, Jack Flaherty threw like 115 pitches in that game. So if anybody's going to get gassed early, it's more likely to be Flaherty than it is to be Folty. I hope Folty has enough, not only like energy and stamina and gas, but enough control and ability tonight to go deep into the game. But say he does well enough, but has to come out of the game after five or six.
Right.
Who goes in first?
Probably Freed.
Probably Max Freed.
Probably Max.
And I'm
telling you right now, I wouldn't be surprised if Soroka goes. I mean, this is where you're at right now. You use your guys. If you have a choice between Soroka or Newcomb, who are you going with?
Depends on who's up, because the lefty-lefty matchup.
See, I understand that part of baseball, but sometimes it's got to be who's better.
Sure.
You know, because hasn't Soroka, he's faced left-handed pitches before, right?
He faces left-handed batters sometimes.
Okay.
He does a pretty good job against everybody.
All right.
But and here's the thing. That's another big part of what tonight is going to be. Like, as much as I love Brian Snitker, there have been decisions that have been made in this series that have been questionable.
Don't overmanage.
Don't overmanage.
But a lot of times it does happen in these type of situations.
But don't undermanage. Like, everyone has to be perfect. That's the hard part of games like this. And you know it's going to come down to decisions that Snitker makes,
right,
that Mike Shildt makes in this game tonight. Obviously, the performance of the players and the players doing what they're asked to do is the most important thing. But Brian Snitker is going to have three or four decisions tonight that tip the scale of this game. And I hope that they're the right decisions. I mean, that's all you can really hope for tonight. I trust that they're the right decisions, but I also hope that they're the right decisions with Brian Snitker tonight.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for this game, Randy.
I'm excited, brother.
Very excited for this game. We'll talk a lot of Braves from now until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Still a lot more to get into.
Is this Vanilla Ice or is this Under Pressure? Queen, okay.
It's Queen.
Right, love Queen.
Yeah, it's better.
Yeah.
It's better than the Vanilla Ice one. We'll come back and get to what's trending, including what Dan Quinn was talking about this morning with the morning show guys.
Maybe that's why some of the frustration comes in.
I know why my frustration has come
Me
in
too.
Regarding the Falcons. We'll find out why Dan Quinn's frustration has come in, as well as continue talking about the Braves in Game 5 tonight against the Cardinals, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Like everybody, whether fans or media or players or coaches too, like, you know, you're frustrated because you want it so badly, and I think you guys have been around the team to know how much they care and how much it means to them, and it's probably a good game, a good day to, you know, remind you, like, why we play it and coach it is because we love it so much, and maybe that's why some of the frustration comes in, because you put so much damn work into it that you want it to get together and come through like you want to.
What's trending here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy? We'll let you hear the entire interview from Dan Quinn and the morning show guys coming up in about 20 minutes. Let you hear that interview in its entirety. That was a part of it. Dan Quinn talking about some of the things that they're working on and just how frustrating it is to have all of these things not happening when they're working on them so hard. Right. I was actually thinking about that on Sunday a little bit. Like, these guys, like Dan Quinn and his coaching staff, they're right, working like 20-hour days.
Yeah.
To make their football look like that.
Yeah.
That's tough.
It's tough, man.
That's a tough one when you're not sleeping at all. You're trying to grind it out and try to figure it out in one way or another, and you're giving up 53 points. I don't mean to laugh, but like
really
sucks. Like, if you're working that hard at something, you'd like to think it would get slightly better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think sometimes, you know, people realize the long hours that these coaches do. I mean, we're usually out of there by 6. They might stay another 4 hours afterwards.
Right.
You know, and so when you look at what you just said, you know, you're trying to win games. You think you're doing what's the right thing for you to do in order for you to win football games and for your team to be successful. But, I mean, sometimes you got to look at I said it yesterday, Andy, you got to look at yourself sometimes as a player. Like, am I doing the best that I can do? Yeah, the scheme may not have worked the way Dan wants it to work, but at the same time, the players aren't playing well at all. I mean, you can put them in any kind of position, but it's ultimately on the player to go do his damn job. And I think that you have too many guys on this squad that's not doing their job. You got too much confusion back there. That's why I said maybe you do need to simplify a little bit more so these guys can just go play.
I would love that. Simplify it. Go back to what worked at least slightly in the past. We asked that question yesterday. That would be requiring Dan Quinn to at least to a certain extent admit that he was wrong about trying to change the defense and change the front a little bit and what they're doing this year with that bear front, as we call it, or having five guys on the line of scrimmage, to put it more simply. And I just don't know if he's going to do that. Because if you go back to the track record of Dan Quinn as the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, there are definitely examples of him making changes,
right,
even changes mid-season. But I don't know that any of the changes have ever been representative of Dan Quinn admitting that he did something wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
like other people have, and he's replaced them and stuff like that. But like, to me, the biggest example of him not admitting when something didn't work out was signing Vic Beasley to a fifth-year option this year.
I mean,
like, they shouldn't have done that.
That's a big deal. I get all that. But and the thing about it, even if you simplify your scheme, doesn't mean that you're wrong. It's just saying I'm trying to help these players out.
Sure.
So, I mean, you can look
trying something different.
You can look at it. It might not even be something different, because this five-man front thing, this is different when they play it as much as they do. If he goes back to his regular defense, I don't think it'd be a look as far as a change. It's just going back to what we did. I mean, because right now the personnel and what you're trying to do is not working.
Sure.
And that's how I look at it. And again, we'll have Dave on later on. But, I mean, it's so imperative that in order for you to get, like, coverage and sacks and all that, it's Grady and the interior guys, they do their thing, all right? They do their thing. Grady's not an Aaron Donald-type pass rusher, but he gets pressure. Those two dudes, all right? And I'm so tired of talking about them, because
I'd like to talk about it
in a positive way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, get around the passer and get him on the ground, because you know what happens when you do that a lot, Andy? A strip sack, turnovers.
Bad throw. Yeah.
Something like that. All that helps. But if you can't – I mean, Deshaun Watson was just sitting back there bouncing around. Okay, nobody's – oh, it goes Will Fuller wide open. I mean, that's when you can hit those deep crosses like that where there's no pressure.
And I will ask Dave Archer this. Like you said, he'll be with us at 12:20 as he always is on Wednesdays. And I'll ask you right now, too. Like, do you think that switching to what they've been doing, that front that they've been using, that was in an attempt to get Tack and Vic in the backfield more often?
I don't know.
Don't you think?
Yeah, of course I think so.
Okay.
But my thing is, was that Dan's mindset? I mean, again, I think sometimes we make a little too big a deal out of fronts and everything, because a lot of times you're in a four-man front because of so much nickel and all that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, whatever front you're in, you got to produce, man. And a lot of times when you look at what Tack and Vic are, they're one-on-one. I mean, it's not really a scheme or anything. It's the right tackle has you, the left tackle has you. Okay, they're not allowing you to get there, right?
Well, and I think that was the goal of the change,
yeah,
to have those guys. Like, ideally, if you're an above-average player and you get put into a situation where you're in a one-on-one situation,
yeah,
and it's your job basically just to win that one-on-one situation, then the coach did a good job.
Yeah.
Like, the coach put you in a scenario where you just had to do your job better than the one who's playing against you. Now, that's where we always get back to, well, if you're not good enough to do that, which clearly they're not, because they've been in those one-on-ones over and over and over again this year and not done anything with them. I don't know how that's, aside from the fact that Dan Quinn is responsible for keeping Vic Beasley this season and signing into a fifth-year option on his contract, it's not really Dan Quinn's fault that you can't win a one-on-one.
And that's the thing about it. And that's the most important thing. Isn't that, you know what, you can go into the next up. That just right there just says volumes right there. You can't beat that tackle.
Yes, be better at your
job.
You
know what I'm saying? That's not on Dan Quinn. That's not on scheme.
Right.
That's on you.
Right.
You can't do that. You can't beat that guy.
Yeah, and I don't know what he's supposed to do to fix that.
This has been an unbelievable series. My God, both teams just banging at each other, and the close games and the late inning heroics. And it's been something. It's been exhausting. I know when you're a part of it.
Agreed.
But it's been a heck of a series. I mean, both sides. I guess it's only fitting that we're going to be going out there in a winner-take-all type atmosphere tomorrow.
Yeah, Brian Snitker yesterday talking about this series thus far, he's absolutely right. Like, these four games have been all of the words that he used. And I think exhausting is probably...
They're fun.
I was so emotionally drained at the end of game four,
uh-huh,
when those jerks from St. Louis won that game and the third Molina brother had that walk-off sacrifice to left field. Like, it was just a lot, man.
Man, it's old.
It's a lot in these four games.
Dude,
it is old. Fitting that it comes down to game five today. This would be especially fitting from my perspective if the Braves were able to win it.
Well, the Braves are going to win today.
Good.
And again, I'm just smiling because I'm so excited to watch this game because, I mean, this is, like you said, Andy, this is why you're fans, you know, and it's going to be an emotional roller coaster, I'm sure, you know, because they paid them too, and they're going to make some plays on the Braves. I just want the Braves to make more plays, get more runs. If the man is on third, please bring him in some kind of way.
Please
bring him in. And, of course, sooner or later today, we will, hopefully, before we go out the air, we'll find out who the, with the rotation, not the rotation, but the bat lineup and everything's going to be.
That's sort of a do your job situation too, though,
yeah,
right? Like, and I saw people blaming Snit for decision making in losses, and I know that's what you're going to do. And sometimes his decision making has been questionable, no doubt about it. But like, if Ronald Acuna is on third base, with no outs in an inning,
right,
and you've got 2, 3, 4, 5 coming up, I mean, I don't know what Brian Snitker's supposed to do. Like, one of those guys, just do your job. I mean, and I'm not even talking about hitting a home run or a double. Just hit one in the air deep enough,
yeah,
for Ronald to score. You don't even have to hit it that deep. Ronald's really fast.
Yeah.
Like, it's a simple matter of doing your job. You were put in the situation to do it. 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position on Monday night is unacceptable. I mean, if they're 1-for-9, just, they win that game.
Yes.
That's it.
That's the crazy thing about it. That's why that margin for winning is so thin. And, oh, don't forget, we are giving – well, Dukes and Bell are giving away 2 Braves tickets to the game today over at Murph's later on. So listen out for the code word in a little bit.
It's hard to get tickets. We bought tickets after the game. We had to click buy 8 different times because the first 7 times we clicked, somebody had somehow bought them faster than us.
Yeah.
Like, tickets were flying off the – not shelves, but the app, I guess. Flying off the app on Monday night. Anyway, if the Braves are going to win tonight, which we both think that they are, this guy right here is going to have a great performance.
You know, there's nothing really can do. Just going to go home, relax, just try to get some rest, you know, get some meals in you, hydrate, all that fun stuff.
Hydrate.
And, you know, just get ready for tomorrow, just like a normal day, and just, you know, get prepared like normal, and you know, get my little work in here today, and like I said, just go home, relax, maybe watch some Toy Story 4. I saw that came out on DVD and Comcast,
okay.
So me and Jet might be on that.
Toy Story 4.
So Jet, I assume, is his son or dog? Okay, son.
Okay.
So watching Toy Story 4 last night is the way that Mike Foltynewicz is getting ready for the game tonight. And I think that's great.
Yeah.
Just relax.
And that's the thing about
it. Do
what
you've always done.
You can't – I mean, that's the one thing about it. When you're facing games like this and performances like this, don't do anything abnormal. Keep your same routine, man. Don't be like, okay, it's a big game there. I can't do this with the family. Always stay in that routine because that's what makes – that's what athletes – that's the best thing athletes can ever do. Is stay the course, because if you ever get out of it, because we're the most superstitious people in the world. Oh my God, I put my left sock on instead of my right sock first. I mean, it really does go down like that sometimes with athletes.
When you would have the night before big games, I mean, you played in college a lot of big games, yeah, in the NFL some big games too. Like, what would your pre night before night look like?
I would always keep the same routine, especially in the NFL. After night meetings, I would get me 3 chocolate chip cookies, 2 Gatorade, and I'll go to my room and I would always watch. I would always get in my room by the time 48 Hours came on.
Okay.
And I would always watch 48 Hours. I'm serious.
Not the movie.
No, not the movie.
TV show.
The TV show. And I go over my keys for tomorrow, go to bed, wake up, and, you know, get myself ready to go.
What flavor Gatorade?
I had to be red.
Okay.
2 red Gatorades, 3 chocolate chip cookies. And if we had like a snack or something, I might get some, and they usually had like chicken wings, grab me a couple of wings.
You eat the chocolate chip cookies and the Gatorade at the same time?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's pretty nasty.
Yeah, that's
pretty nasty.
That's not like my mind, that doesn't sound like a good combination.
But I know that was my routine every night. That was my routine on night before the game.
Hopefully Folty had some chocolate chip cookies and some Gatorade last night too. Dansby Swanson also spoke about exactly what this team is.
Our resiliency is pretty unmatched, and our ability to compete on a daily basis, regardless of who we're facing, is something that served us well all year, and it's not going to change tomorrow.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. This team has been very resilient. I remember earlier in the year when they had gone through a tough stretch, and Brian Snitker referred to them as resilient, and I said, I don't know. I'm not sure if they are yet. They haven't really proved that. Well, they bounced back and won that series and went on a great run. They have been. They've been the best team in baseball in the last 3 innings of the game. That has happened in this series already, although I would say this. As resilient as the Braves have been, Cardinals are pretty resilient too. Because the Cardinals have been losing all 4 of these games.
Yeah.
They came back and won Game 1 and Game 4. So don't underestimate their resiliency.
What did we tell you? They're not going to beat themselves.
They are not.
They're not. The 2019 Pro Football Pick'em brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Get the most games right each week for a shot to win $1,000. Score the best for the entire season, and you can win a trip to Miami for the big game and win $5,000. Get signed up today on the contest page at 929thegame.com.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to let you listen back to John and Hugh's conversation with Dan Quinn from earlier this morning. Coming up next, we'll get to an NFL no huddle at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, and still tons of Braves conversation to come as the Braves and Cardinals game number 5 is tonight. Dukes and Bell will have tickets to give away on their show this afternoon. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a game day Wednesday. Braves Cardinals game 5 tonight. A lot of good vibes music? Is that what we're doing today, Brian?
I love this song.
Don't worry, be happy.
Yeah, I love this song.
Okay.
But, hey, y'all, tune in to Dukes and Bell for a chance to win a pair of Braves playoff tickets for today's game. Remember this code word, relentless, for an on-air giveaway. Playoff tickets are given away by the courtesy of Papa John's. They will be at Mercy Day over the Cobb Galleria. So remember the word relentless.
Relentless is a great word to use about this Braves team. We went and had dinner with a couple friends of ours last night, a married couple, and he used the word relentless to describe her, like, wanting him to do chores. That was the wrong way to use the word relentless. That didn't go very well. She was not super happy about that. She was like, well, maybe if you just did them when I asked you to do them, I wouldn't have to be relentless.
How awkward was the rest of dinner?
It wasn't awkward. It was just like, oh, that was a misstep there, man. You've been married for too long to do that. Come on, you're smarter than that. Anyway, it was a nice dinner. They made chicken enchiladas. Anyway, Dan Quinn was on with the morning show guys earlier today. He is with them every single Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We'll give you a chance to listen back to that on our show every single Wednesday as well. They started off by asking Coach Quinn, how did Caleb McGarry grade out last weekend?
Well, I think what you like about those experiences, and like he's had a couple good rushers right off the bat. What JJ has, you know, he can go speed to power. He's got good hands to go. So he's one of the best. And so when you really challenge yourself to see how you're going to do and how you'll match up as a competitor, you really want those challenges. All right, this is one of the best. I want my shot at him. I want to go. I thought there were definitely times that he really threw his hands and held his own. Like most things, when you're not sure or waiting for a guy to hit a move and you're late, he was too. So it kind of reconfirms, hey, man, like, trust your technique. You know, when you really are on it, it stays really good, stays really consistent. It's because of the size of him, Huey. Like, he's big, like one of your old teammates, you know, Big Runyon big. You know, like, when you stand next to McGarry, like, it's a big dude. He's hard to get around. So, like, make sure all the time he's throwing those hands to make people have to deal with him.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn about the Atlanta Falcons and the Arizona Cardinals. You know, Coach, you didn't get much of a pass rush last week. So how do you address this? How do you address trying to get pressure on the quarterback?
Yeah, and we 100% have to. And, you know, what also comes from that is the forced fumbles. And you'd be surprised, the two teams that lead the league in forced fumbles are Arizona and Atlanta. And now we have not recovered all those. We're not the leaders in that space, or neither are they. But what I do know is that, you know, for us to be the team we have to, that has to come alive. You know, we got one out on Watson. He picked it up and scrambled for a first down. The same thing a week prior where he got down to fourth and one with, you know, versus Tennessee. So it's a lot of communication. It's a lot to get right in our rush. We certainly are committed to doing that, John. It's four guys that it takes to go together, coverage, everything. If we can create some better third down opportunities, it certainly makes the ops to rush better because of, you know, now it's not, you know, out so quickly. But we're committed to doing that in any way. So that's one of the big topics, obviously, that we'll be hitting on, you know, on all three of the on-field practice days here over and over again. These guys can throw it. They've got a mobile quarterback. You're going to have to chase them all over the field. So it'll be important for us to get that part of our game right.
Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Coach Dan Quinn. Coach, the running backs had some good numbers in the passing game, but how do we get them going in the running game?
Yeah, that's where the frustration is, you know, across the board, players, coaches, you know, everybody, fans, yourself, all of us, because we know, you know, what these guys can do. So we're going to keep digging at it hard. And I would say if we were coming out of the week here of two real emphasis for us, it's, you know, obviously in the secondary and our pass rush defensively, but it's in the run game to make sure that can consistently get going. And you know it firsthand, man, when you have both and you have balance, it's the most challenging. And we weren't disappointed in the touches, you know, in the pass game. I think both of them had about six catches or so. But what we really need is, you know, consistent grind where these guys are getting able to push and go. So that's where we're at. We're digging hard on that part of it, Hugh, to see what packages we run it best in, what looks we run it best in. And those are, you know, I'd say the two emphases for this week. You know, from our coverage side, our rush side on the defensive side, and then the run game, certainly on the offensive side. We felt like we made some progress in the protection game. We've made some progress in terms of throwing it and getting some explosives, but that's the secret sauce right there with the run game.
You know, we understand that you stayed out west and you're coming to us from Phoenix today. This decision was made obviously before the season, but does it come at a kind of a fortuitous time for you given everything that's happened so far that you're able to spend a week out in Arizona together as a team?
It sure did, because you know, when you're here, you kind of need this isolation when you're not hitting it on the cylinders that you want to. And you know, for all of us, you know, like, not only are the fans and everybody upset, like, no one feels worse than the team. And so, like, we still want to get it right for everybody. And that's why sometimes being out all together 24/7, you get more time to get together, more time to go through things. And it wasn't, you know, any thought other than just, hey, we had two trips out west, so let's do it together. But sometimes you just, it happens at the time you need it. And so that's what our team needs right now. And we'll have three, you know, really good days of work here. We'll go over to Arizona State for our practices and really put together a good plan for us to play like we're capable in all three phases. And that's the key to us. Man, let's play complementary football, all three phases. And, you know, then, you know, hopefully we'll get to see the team we'll have. And that's the only purpose here to being here, is getting our game right.
Head Coach Dan Quinn joining us, talking about the Atlanta Falcons with John and Hugh from Phoenix, Arizona, as they get ready for the game against the Cardinals this week. You talk about some of the scheme things you could do. What about some of the players? I mean, given everything that's taking place here, are we going to get a chance to see maybe personnel changes on the defense? Will we see John Kaminsky more, Kendall Sheffield maybe in the starting lineup, Deidre Sinod and Jermaine Grace? I mean, you're looking at a lot of guys right now.
Well, we certainly, you know, starting in the secondary first, and Sheffield, you know, got more work last week and more turns as he got started, and so he certainly earned that. I think you guys feel the speed that he has, so that's a good matchup, you know, when you have that kind of speed and you can play down and square at the line. He's strong. He's got really strong hands. He can play square at the line of scrimmage and challenge receivers, so he's there, and we're still definitely developing John as we're going. He's played primarily on special teams so far. But, you know, in this kind of game where they're a more wide-open offense, you'll need all the rushers you can, all the movement you can. And so I would say everybody, all hands on deck, you know, if you're active, you're up and going to play really fast and rely on that speed and physicality that we like. So I want to make sure that run and hit factor is fully alive and well here in Arizona.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking to the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Coach Quinn, Dan Quinn, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, moving forward a little bit, looking at the Arizona Cardinals, how do you limit Kyler Murray and keep him from making explosive plays?
Yeah, I think when you study him, and you guys will see him this weekend, he can really rip it. And so, you know, in the pocket, he can make all the throws. He's got good accuracy, outbreaking throws, deep balls. Larry Fitzgerald is still a fantastic target, somehow just still playing at this really ridiculously good high level, crafty to do it. Kirk outside is another one. We've got lots of respect for David Johnson. So he uses all the weapons. There's some quarterback run element to it, Hughes, some zone read or, you know, option work where he does. But more often, it's him getting outside the pocket or a quarterback draw that he can do those. So as often as you can keep him in the pocket, although he's got a good arm to rip it, when you get outside the pocket, he does have some long explosive runs. You know, guys' backs are turned or you can't see him. So you better, you know, design things that you have a good eye on him, because he's got real speed to get out on the edge.
Yeah, you talk about that anxious nature, Coach, and it's always important to get a win. But there are times where sometimes you really need a win more than others. And this team, I get a sense, really just needs to win a game.
I think because like everybody, whether it's fans or media or players or coaches too, like, you know, you're frustrated because you want it so badly. And I think you guys have been around the team to know how much they care and how much it means to them. And it's probably a good game, a good day to, you know, remind you, like, why we play it and coach it is because we love it so much. And maybe that's why some of the frustration comes in, because you put so much damn work into it that you want it to get together and come through like you want to. So, you know, it's going to take, man, a lot of work, a lot of belief and trust in what we're doing. You got to put your nose back to the grindstone and really trust in it. We've got some good players and a good scheme. Now we've got to go put the whole thing together, John. I think that's so important. To play that complementary football back and forth off one another, all the explosive plays. So frustration for sure, but at the end of it, man, let's get this performance up and running like we need to.
Dan Quinn from earlier this morning on the morning show with John and Hugh every Wednesday at 7 a.m.
Sounds
we'll come
good.
Back. Yeah, it does. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle, react to some of what Dan Quinn said there. I understand there was a lot of people upset about that Dan Quinn interview this morning.
Oh, whatever.
Try to figure out exactly why in the NFL no huddle. Randy's also going to do a lot of singing today, and I'm all for it. I'm here for that. We'll come back and get to an NFL No Huddle on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.